League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. A good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. on this fine Friday. A Friday fan show special, as we like to call it. I'm going to try and think of some new names, because that is pretty dull, isn't it? But that music's not dull. Thoroughly enjoy that music, as does my producer, Paddy, who is flailing his arms around in his little glass box, I must say. He likes the vinyl scratching that you can hear behind the lyrics. It's the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. We're with you through to 10 p.m. and we're going to be reflecting on all things Seagulls. That defeat to Bournemouth earlier in the week, what a massive defeat that could turn out to be. Brighton now just 2 points above the Cherries outside of those relegation spots, but they have been dragged right back into it with recent results not going the way of Graham Potter's men. However, a little bit of light on the horizon, and that is the news that Aaron Moy signed for what you'd say is a paltry reported £5 million from Huddersfield today. That move has been confirmed, so good news there. A strong midfielder to continue Brighton's survival stay in the Premier League. The only thing you would say about Aaron Moy is that he has a history of going down, doesn't he? Just once, you'd have to say, for Huddersfield. But you do fear those certain players of years gone by. Neil Redfern springs to mind. Charlton, Barnsley, Bradford, Ashley Ward, also with Bradford, with Norwich. Those types of players who play for clubs that tend to go down. We hope that isn't a tag that is associated to Aaron Moy. And another man who hopes the same thing is Joshua Goldsmith from the Together podcast, who joins me right this very moment. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, buddy. Aaron Moy, great news. He's signed.
Yeah, and what a snip of a price, too. If it is a reported £5 million, we've really mugged Huddersfield for that one.
I mean, listen, £5 million in today's market, especially in January as well. Now, we know that this could well have been a deal that maybe was struck at the start of the season. My only reservation on this is that I'm pretty sure Moy signed a new deal with Huddersfield, didn't he? He had that classic scenario of signing a new deal for his club and then instantly being sent out on loan. We see it pretty much everywhere now. Now, whether that was an agreement between the two clubs at the start of the season, look, here's the facade, you sign your deal, you come to us on loan to sort of numb the blow, as it were, soften the blow of the club selling him, and then we've agreed a fee already that we'll get in January. Even so, £5 million is peanuts in today's market.
Yeah, you're spot on. And, I remember them signing that new contract and I thought, OK, well, the chances of him coming are, slim to none. But I thought that if he is going to come, he's going to come at a high price because they've just signed this new contract. I kind of assume that's why they've done it. Where, like, if we really liked what we saw, we would have to pay for the privilege, you know. And, £5 million is not paying that much for the privilege at all because, he's been one of our better players this year. And, he's been used well, and for $5 million, it's just unbelievable. I can't believe we've got away with it.
Yeah, quite incredible, really, especially in today's market, like I said. But hey, let's look at the bright spark. Of course, he did score in that defeat to Bournemouth on Tuesday. However, it was a defeat, Josh. And listen, we can't beat around the bush here. Brighton are in a relegation scrap. I know that we've sort of flirted around it over the past few weeks of the Brighton and Hove Albion fan show. Of course, the season started pretty well for you guys under Graham Potter. But that is just 2 points clear of the relegation zone now. Just one defeat and a victory for either, you know, Watford or Bournemouth, and you're in the bottom three.
Yeah, we are definitely in that scrap now. You can see the slight gap starting to open up between the bottom six and the rest, with that 5 point gap after Burnley won midweek. And our January in the Premier League is just horrific. I don't know if you've seen the stats of just how
Absolutely.
Bad we are in
Why
January.
Is, what, I mean, is that just a coincidence, like Harry Kane couldn't score in August for Toffee? Is that just something that happens, or do you think it genuinely is? At the start of the month, I don't think players have any idea about those kinds of stats, but the more that the media, that the fans, that maybe even the manager feeds those stats in, do you think it does get into their psyche?
I think it has to, but I think you're right. I think it is a bit like that Harry Kane hoodoo thing. Like, I'm not sure they even know that it is happening, but something in the subconscious is affecting the way we play, because we are night and day, you know, in January. I think we've took 5 points from a possible 36 in the last 3 years. That's absolutely horrific. And, you know, and now it's dragged us into a relegation battle that we've played well enough to not be in, but this is the Premier League, you know, this is the biggest and hardest league in the world. And if you don't get the results you should be getting, especially with those teams around you, you're going to get dragged in.
It's just one win in nine in the Premier League now. One in 10 in all competitions if you factor in that defeat to Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup. Now that is relegation form, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course it is. I think we're lucky enough that our goal difference is still much better than everybody else down there. And, you know, these teams are playing each other and not taking points off of each other. I think the only reason we're not further down is the fact that the teams around us, you know, the Watford, Bournemouth, West Ham, Villa, aren't making the most of their chances to win points as well. So it's going to be a rough next couple of months if we don't kind of pull our fingers out and get these results over the next couple of weeks.
I have to say, you did meet a goalkeeper in inspired form in Aaron Ramsdale, and the crucial, really, save was from Neil Maupay in the first half, because Brighton were dominant, I think you'd say, in the opening exchanges at the Vitality Stadium. But what a save from Ramsdale. First from Neil Maupay. He made another save from Maupay in the second half that he tipped over the bar, repeating that almost with a carbon copy from Aaron Moy, and a few other saves in addition. I think there was one from Lewis Dunk as well, where he spread like a spider across his goal. He was in inspired form.
Yeah, he was. And it's one of those games where you look back on it after you kind of get over the disappointment and realise that it could have quite easily ended 3-1 the other way with the amount of saves and like how good he was with those saves, you know. And I think that's the kind of thing you've got to take forward as a Brighton fan without kind of melting down and getting too upset. You've got to realise that, you know, on a different day, we're winning 3-1 and comfortably. So, yeah, it was unbelievable. A couple of those saves just beggared belief, especially that first one from Maupay in the first half. I could not believe it.
I mentioned Maupay there as well, as have you. It's not easy coming into the Premier League as a young lad. He was a proven goal scorer in the Championship. In fact, you look at all the way back from his Ligue 1 history, of course, scored, I think he was the second youngest scorer in Ligue 1, wasn't he, at 16 years old, around that age. He's had a lot of expectation on his shoulders and he's always dealt with it quite well. You'd have to say he's dealing with it well at the moment in the Premier League, still getting himself into those positions, but just 34 touches of the ball at the Vitality on Tuesday. He hasn't scored since mid-December in that draw with Crystal Palace.
Yeah, you're right. He has handled it well. And even though he's not on a great run of form now, you know, he's still scored 7 goals already this season. He's assisted a couple, I think. And, you know, he's leading the line for a team that isn't particularly tall up top. So I think he's doing a great job. I think he would do a lot better playing off of another striker. And, you know, I'm hoping that's something we're going to focus on over the next 7 days of the January window. But, yeah, he's doing all right. You know, he's keeping his head down. He's working hard, even if he isn't getting the results. I haven't seen him kind of give up yet. And that's one of the things that, you know, you hate to see as a fan when a player looks like they've just kind of sack the whole thing off. And he doesn't seem like that type at all, which is what we need in a fight that we're in.
And there isn't long, like you said there, with regards to the January transfer window, Josh. And this is something that, listen, we talk about it week in, week out, don't we? And we had the Chelsea fan show earlier on, and they pretty much, whenever I attempted to bring up the transfer window, they nipped it in the bud because we hear so many rumours, so much conjecture about who's going to sign, so much clickbait that we all buy into and we discuss. So I'm not going to do that, mate. I'm not going to do it. However, I am going to ask you that we have got, what, like you say, a week left of the transfer window. Now, we've seen this with so many other managers and so many other clubs that we get to the 31st, and it drives me insane. I don't quite understand how this still happens year in, year out, because for me, it's mismanagement. You cannot get to the 31st of January and suddenly go, oh, okay, we're now going to get five deals over the line, because why is it taking you so long? Does this player really represent the type of player that you want if you're having to wait all the way until the end of the January window at, what, 10 p.m, an hour before the window closes, to then sign him? Now, we're hearing Amiens forward, Serhou Guirassy, is maybe a target for Brighton. He's also a target for Aston Villa. Is there anyone or anything or anybody that you want to see coming in? And have you heard any rumours? Who do you think that Graham Potter should be plumping for?
I haven't heard any rumours, honestly. I know that, you know, we talked about Samatta last week and I was a bit disappointed we didn't go for him. But, you know, there has been so many names thrown around over the last week, like you said, just conjecture beyond conjecture. And you just never know who we're going to pull out the bag. You know, I would like to see somebody like Mitrovic being signed up. But I can't imagine Fulham would want to sell in their current position. But, you know, he is exactly the kind of player we need. We need a stronger, taller striker, you know, in the Glenn Murray mould, but with more legs on him than, you know, 36-year-old Glenn has. He started the season, you know, as a regular starter for us under Potter, and he struggled to keep up a lot of the time. And he was, you know, the slow part of the transition. So we need someone who can do what he does, but just with that gas tank that he doesn't have. Someone like Mitrovic has it, but I can't imagine he's going to get signed up because, you know, Fulham are also chasing their own goals. And why would they want to get rid of him when he's scoring for fun there?
Matty Cash is another name that's been thrown into the mix. Now, this is an example of what we're saying here, Josh, because Matty Cash, the Nottingham Forest fullback, has been thrown into the mix for Brighton. AC Milan, apparently, in for Matty Cash. Southampton, apparently, in for Matty Cash. Apparently, West Ham today have offered around 12 million for Matty Cash. This is a decent Championship player, you'd have to say. It is around 12 million that Nottingham Forest are asking for him, maybe even more. Is a fullback where Brighton need to strengthen?
Yeah, he's a right back, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can play on both exactly sides, but predominantly a right back, yeah.
Yeah, so right back is really where we need to strengthen. Left back, we have a couple of options. Right back, we only really have Montoya, and that's it. I know that Potter has tried playing out Zate out wide for a little bit, but he kind of was more of a wing back, and he did okay. But playing as an out-and-out right back, he just hasn't got the, you know, the tangibles to do it. So I don't really know much about Matty Cash, but he fits our MO from Brighton, the kind of players we look to sign, the young, promising players. And I wouldn't be surprised if we were talking about it, but I'm sure there are a lot of other options out there as well. I know that I've seen Kyle Walker-Peters talked about a whole bunch as well. He kind of fits the same mould with slightly more pedigree. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if we went for him. Right back is a space we need to attack. And, you know, if, God forbid, we were to go down, we also then have a proven top Championship right back.
Yeah, so, very good point. Yeah, on the other side, you've got Dan Byrne as well, of course. He's out at the moment with a broken collarbone, but he has signed a new deal. So a bit of activity, getting Aaron Moy and getting Dan Byrne as well. He's going to be with the club now until 2023. I guess the only thing with these types of signings is that they're not new, so they don't provide that extra impetus, both from fans and I guess from a playing perspective as well. Yes, it's good to get Aaron Moy on a permanent deal, but he's already at the club, so it won't feel like a new player walking into the dressing room.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's how I feel about it too. It feels like we're kind of, at least I hope, we're kind of getting our ducks in a row before this week, before we start actually kind of signing people from outside of the club, you know. Get the in-house deals done first, get Moy signed up, get Dan Byrne extended, and hopefully this week, even though, you know, as you say, you're completely right, it's crazy that we wait so long to get these deals done. But I'm hoping that this week is then going to be a case of, okay, we've sorted our in-house stuff out. Let's go out and get the people we want to get.
Indeed. That is Josh Goldsmith there from the Together podcast. This is the Brighton and Hove Albion Fan Show. We've got plenty more coming up.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. And me, Matt Beadle, joined by Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. We're just reflecting on that game with Bournemouth as things stand. Of course, no game for the Seagulls this weekend. They face West Ham in another relegation scrap the weekend after next. And then it is Watford. They've got a couple of real six-pointers coming up. Of course, the first one against Aston Villa was a draw. The second one against Brighton, a defeat. So they are definitely going to need points against West Ham and Watford in the games coming up. But this week on Love Sport, we spoke to ex-Brighton player Gordon Smith, renowned for his time at the Goldstone Ground, of course. And he spoke after the defeat to Bournemouth and spoke a bit about his thoughts about Brighton this season so far, the appointment of Graham Potter, and the game against Bournemouth in particular. He felt Brighton should have won.
Well, it was. I mean, the only win Brighton have had in the last 10 games has been against Bournemouth, actually. They beat them at home. And this was a crucial period coming up because, you know, you're looking at the fixtures they had. They had Aston Villa, then Bournemouth, and now they've got two more. The next two are West Ham and Watford, the two teams who are just below them in the league, 2 points behind them. But that was a crucial period. Now, if you look at the results, if they'd got the win on Saturday, I was at the game on Saturday, actually, and Brighton should have won the game. They just didn't take their chances. The game was there to be won. They lost a goal late on, so it finished one each. So they lost 2 points there. And then last night as well, to go to Bournemouth, a team the last team they beat, and lose so comfortably, it's a bit a worrying time for Brighton. There's no doubt about that. That you know, that these points are crucial, especially when they're against the teams who are down there in the same region of the division as you are. You have to win these games because they're six-pointers when you think about it. If they'd beaten Villa at the weekend, that would have been a six-point gap to Aston Villa. But now as it is, because of Villa's result last night, the Gulf, Villa and Brighton are sitting on level points now. Yeah. So these are crucial games. And as I say, the next two are very, very important. They've got West Ham and then Watford.
The next two are very, very important, says Gordon Smith. Crucial games there, Josh. Do you agree with all that?
Yeah, spot on. You know, we had a hard run before Christmas and we all accepted that, you know, we'd be lucky to take too many points there. But the games we're having right now were the ones we need to be making the most of. And right now we're not. So, you know, we've got a couple of fixtures still coming up. You know, like we said, the West Ham, the Watford. We also have Palace a couple of games after that at home as well. So, you know, up until kind of the end of February, we're playing games that we can be reasonably expectant to do all right in. So these are going to be the ones that, you know, we need to make the most of.
Yep, Gordon did elaborate as well when asked about Graham Potter and the news back in November that he'd signed that two-year contract extension, a six-year deal ultimately at Brighton, which shows a vision, which is definitely a good thing for the club. But he suggested that maybe, just maybe, if the Seagulls do get relegated, would they indeed regret that?
I think they possibly could be. I mean, we did discuss it and we were surprised at the time that a manager could get that length of contract in the short space of time he had been there. I mean, he'd done pretty well. They were up, say, I think they were in the top half of the league at that point. But since then, you know, they've slipped back down. And you know, if you give a manager that length of contract, then, you know, you have to have a great deal of confidence in him. Mm-hmm. But he really has to turn things around. He's got to get it going because at the moment you're saying, you know, they are in the relegation zone. I mean, when you look at it, obviously Norwich have got a game in hand and they've got 17 points. But below that, above that, you know, Watford, Bournemouth, West Ham, Villa on our level with Brighton, they're all in the same region and there's only 2 points in it with Watford and Bournemouth and West Ham from Brighton. So they could certainly be dragged into that relegation zone. And that's a bit of a worry. I'm really worried about them at the moment because, as I say, I feel watching them on Saturday that the biggest problem for me at the moment is the goal scoring element of it. Mm. I mean, Mopy is the top scorer, but he hasn't scored in the last 8 games. Mm. And he's the top scorer with 7 goals, league goals. So they really need to get people to put the ball in the net. I don't know whether it's a question of maybe bringing in Glenn Murray back in because he's been on the bench all the time, but certainly, you know, it's in the window just now. They maybe have to bring in a striker before the window's over.
Bringing Glenn Murray back in, Josh, Gordon Smith is suggesting there. Also, that contract. Now, we spoke about this at length when it was announced back in November. At the time, Brighton not doing too badly, of course. It was all rosy then. Yes, this is great. This shows a real clear vision for the club. They're putting faith in someone. We've got something to really hone a Brighton identity on. Actually, Johnny Burrow on Drive earlier said he used the word dynasty to describe what Graham Potter will eventually bring to Brighton and produce. And he thinks Brighton are absolutely safe. I thought that was maybe getting a bit carried away, I have to say. But Gordon Smith there suggesting that the club might regret that 6-year contract should they go down under Potter.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I think, you know, a dynasty is definitely a bit too far-fetched as well right now. But I personally, I'm in the camp of even if we do go down, I think we have to keep him. And not just because of the monetary value of, you know, how much it's going to cost sacking someone after a 5-year contract still on their head, but because this is still, you know, a lot of this squad is still a Chris Hughton-built squad, and Chris built this squad for 4 or 5 years, you know, and he made his mark on it. And I think it's only fair that Graham gets to do the same. You know, we can see that the style of football is the style of football people want to see. We are creating chances, and like, you know, like everybody can see, really, we're not scoring the goals with those chances. So, you know, I'm expecting the board to come out and support him in this window and spend some money on a striker, because that's the kind of player we need to stay up. If we don't, we're in big trouble, and you may as well kind of flip a coin as to whether we're going to go down or not. But I think if we do, regardless, I think we've got to back Potter. We've got to allow him to rebuild this squad in, you know, his own image and see how it fares. And in a couple of years, you know, if things don't get better or if they get dramatically worse, then you can kind of cut ties. But I feel like it would be kind of totally hypocritical to bring him on, add the extension that we've added, and then kind of let him go in March because we want to bring in someone, you know, that can get us out of a relegation battle.
Completely agree with you, mate. I think that we get so carried away now, don't we? Whenever there is one minor little blip, instantly, it's right, get him out. Get him. He's got to have the sack. He's not good enough. He's got to go. And there is a vision here at Brighton. So it's best to stick with it. Just to finish on Gordon's comments, he was asked about the transfer window and who he thinks the club should bring in.
The two centre-backs, Duffy and Dunk, were a great partnership together. That's been broken up. But I think the main thing from Brighton's point of view is to find someone that can put the ball in the net. They might need to go to a lower division or whatever, but they should be looking at the stats of somebody who is a regular goal scorer who could fit in there and you know, a bit of strength up front. That is a problem. And as I say, if they don't sort that out between now and the end of the season, then, you know, they're going to be in trouble.
That was Gordon Smith there speaking to Patrick Christie's and Richard Lee on Love Sport Breakfast. You can catch that every weekday from 6:30 p.m. through to 6:30 a.m. I should say, it's breakfast, to 10 a.m. Josh there, he's suggesting a striker might need to be plucked from the lower leagues. Now, I think we've spoken about Jared Bowen before. Some interesting quotes this week from Grant McCann, the Hull manager, who has said that they've had no offers for Jared Bowen, but they have offered Bowen a better contract. Of course, his contract is up at the end of the season. And he did say quite bluntly, Grant McCann, that if Bowen does reject that contract, they will have to sell him. Does that put Potter on red alert?
I mean, it should do. You know, he's that kind of wide striker that we've been using for a long time now under Potter. He plays the same kind of role that Trossard, Aaron Connolly, you know, even Mopai at times, Jahanbakhsh, they all play that same kind of role. So I certainly wouldn't be upset to see him come in as an extra option. I'm just not sure he's the right style of striker we need. He's more of the same. So, you know, if we're going to sign him and another striker that fits the bill of, you know, like a younger, faster Glenn Murray, then I'm all for it. But if, you know, if it's one or the other, I'd rather go for the other type that we need, because right now that's, we're crying out for it. You know, we can play our 4-4-2 football all around the box and we look great, but we're incredibly easy to play against at the minute because we know, or the, rather the defending teams know, that there is no dimension in the air. And we aren't ever going to put the ball in high. And if you do that and you bring in a taller striker, I think it can totally change the game. It becomes a bit of a nightmare to deal with then because you can't plan one way. We could change it up at any time. So we're going to have to get the chequebook out and get one of those bigger strikers in because we're crying out for it.
Indeed, you are, Josh. Thank you very much for joining us. Normally at this juncture of the show, I'd ask Josh for a prediction on the weekend's game. But they haven't got one, of course. No game for Brighton this weekend. They're playing West Ham next weekend. So we'll speak to Josh here on the Brighton and Hove Albion Fan Show. Same time next week, 9:30. Love Sport. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.